From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Lydon, sitting in for Jennifer Ludden. We begin our program tonight with a story about a family that is home for Christmas. What makes this story special is that last year, they had no home. Since 1996, a special program in Baltimore at Mercy Medical Center has helped hundreds of homeless families. Often, the first sign of trouble is a life's possessions stacked on the curb.
Those are evictions right there. That's mass evictions.
Leroy Folks is a burly ex-football player with two glittering earrings and a degree in social work. He cruises the boarded-up, brick-fronted, row-house-lined streets of central Baltimore like a detective.
Every day. I would say every day there's at least 30 to 50 families that are actually getting evicted. And it's not hard to see who's getting evicted, but what's unfortunate is like a lot of families don't see any way to stop the eviction, so what they do is they take the things out of the home that they want and everything else is just set on the street. And you'll just see the neighborhood people just running around ravaging through the stuff and just kind of taking everything. But
well, here's a pile of stuff and two guys on the street.
In fact, as we drive, Folks hears that 30 families have been evicted from one building alone for non-payment of a water bill.
So we're on the west side of downtown Baltimore, not terribly far from where the railroad station
right.
is.
Yeah, the B&O Railroad, which is a historic museum right now. And you see the railroad's still functioning.
Yeah, here comes Amtrak.
Here comes the train.
A half mile away in East Baltimore, on a street of neat and tidy homes, Sheila Plato sits in a lawn chair. She's just been evicted. It's cold and beginning to drizzle, soaking the dolls and teddy bears and furniture and cooking pots strewn before her. As a final indignity, a dozen people pose on the lawn for a picture. But those aren't the neighbors. It's the eviction crew. Mrs. Plato weeps alone.
The only reason why I'm in this situation right now is because I got bad health and I needed some help and I couldn't get the help that I needed, you know, and I try not to ask nobody for nothing and I do what I can to help whoever I can help. And I'm not going to allow my things to be just taken from people off the street and I know that I can store it somewhere.
There are countless reasons why people become homeless. Each case is as distinct as a fingerprint. In another part of the city, Vivian McLinden never thought she'd find herself homeless.
Our house was a huge, beautiful home. Nice front porch, big yard, two large bedrooms and a medium-sized bedroom. And the basement was very big.
Mrs. McLinden is 56. She'd lived in her family's Baltimore home since she was a baby 50 years ago. She raised her own children there and her grandchildren. But after her parents died, the second generation, Vivian and her brothers and sisters, started to squabble. That was 15 years ago.
They didn't leave it to anyone. You just assume it was just for everybody.
So did the kids
start
to...
So it wasn't in nobody's name. So that's why I think they sort of took advantage of it, because Mama didn't have it in, you know, specific name. So the roof caved in, messed up the floor, the wall, it messed up my furniture. You know, I lost just about everything in there.
So over the years, the house just gradually became more and more neglected.
Yeah, you know, my brother, I gave him money to, you know, to fix the roof, and it didn't last. So I gave talked to other people. They fixed it, it didn't last, so it just deteriorated.
The city condemned the house. The family had to move out. One daughter went off to college on a scholarship, but everyone else had to split up between different shelters and homes. Mrs. McLinden's granddaughter, Gabrielle, who's 17, remembers last Christmas when the family was in a Salvation Army shelter. It was dreary, even though the shelter tried to make it nice. The year before, the old family home was without electricity or heat. That was even bleaker.
We ain't had really nothing. It was just falling apart, so Christmas for us wasn't Christmas. Mm-hmm. Like it usually be.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever think that would happen to you?
No.
No.
I didn't know how to act. Oh. And I was scared to death. This is the first time it ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I miss over there. Every once in a while, I would walk over there, and I miss the front porch, the backyard.
Neighbors.
Oh, yeah, the neighbors was nice.
Come on, let's get some juice.
And so the McLindons were homeless. That's when Mercy Medical Center's supportive housing services found them.
I was in the shelter, and they came to me.
The supportive housing services program at Mercy interviews about 250 homeless families each year. Of that number, they place about 80 in transitional housing and help another 60, like Mrs. McLindon, find homes or apartments. Alnita Sherrell is Mrs. McLindon's coordinator.
Well, we understood that she was the caregiver of these children, and so she apparently had some strength there that meant that she was able to manage a household, manage a home, which is what she did have prior to coming into the shelter.
Mercy Medical Center started the housing program after realizing that homeless people were straining the hospital's emergency room. Rather than just treat their symptoms, Mercy decided to go right to the source, homelessness. Prospective tenants must be able to cover rent, whether from welfare checks or salary. What helped Mrs. McLindon, says program manager Denise Johnson, is that she has three working teenage girls.
Get him upstairs.
Here, get your towel.
A couple months ago, Mercy found Mrs. McLindon and her kids a new house for rent on Ravenswood Street in East Baltimore. It cost $625 a month, and the heat's not working downstairs. There's no furniture except for two plastic chairs and a coffee table. And Gabrielle, with a wave, says her new house is tiny.
We used to live in a real big house. It's just,
The kitchen was too
big, and the little kitchen was big. Yeah. The dining room, living room was big. It's just, I didn't realize how big our house was until we moved in this small house, because we had room. Me, Indy, and Christina, we shared room. We had room in our room to put dressers and stuff in. Shayna had room to put the baby crib and another bed in her room. My mother's room was just humongous.
What's life like now? You are working. You must also be going to school. You're 17.
I go to school, Francis M. Wood, and I go to work at Rite Aid. So before Rite Aid, I was working at Burger King, and before Burger King, I was working at McDonald's. And I just got tired of fast food, so I went to Rite Aid.
Wow. You know, many parents listening to this would love to have a teenager with such a strong work ethic.
Yeah, that's because we like money. Everybody works in this house. And when Christina, she the youngest. When she turned 14, she's getting a job this summer.
Youth work. Yeah. You're blessed. You done had a nice life. Although we was homeless for quite a while, we still been blessed. We still been blessed.
Homeless, we had a very nice life. Couldn't nobody tell that we was, like, living down, like we was homeless, because we always took care of ourselves. We never expressed ourselves to people that we ain't have a place to stay, because we just all was together. I don't say I was homeless, because I never expressed myself to be that way. We never was down like that.
I wasn't ashamed to tell people I was homeless.
You were?
Because I used to down people, right, when they was homeless, right? But since I became homeless, I don't damn no more. I feel really bad for them.
Today, the reunited family is celebrating its first real Christmas in 3 years. Mrs. McLindon is hoping to get a dinette set, maybe a sofa. She did get an 8-foot-tall artificial tree adorned with blue and gold ornaments, white lights, and a lush gold garland. When she and her children dream about the future, this isn't the house or the place where they want to stay. They have other goals.
And see, when I was in the shelter, I was able to put away a lot. So that's why I have what I have. But, you know, it's not going to last forever. Not going to last forever. Even though the children might help out, you know, it's not going to last forever. And I'm trying to get me a house or something. You know, nobody can put us out or anything.
You would like to become a homeowner again?
Yes, I would. But the rent money's going to somebody, or they're getting rich off of me.
Well, I hope you become a homeowner soon.
I hope so.
I'm called because I'm going up to the shopping center to get India's Christmas present. Then I'm going down to the carryout. Then I'm going to get my eyebrows and stuff, so I probably won't be back until after work.
I thought your friend's supposed to be helping me get the tree.
He called me earlier. He told me he couldn't do it.
Maybe. Okay. The biggest gift to the McLindons isn't something you can put beneath a tree or tie up with a bow. It's the feeling on Christmas Day of a new sense of real possibility, a feeling of being home again.